Fishing like a local isn't just about catching fish. It's about connecting with the environment and the people who call it home. It's about hearing the stories and traditions that have been passed down for generations and sharing unforgettable moments with the people you meet along the way. Fishing like a local is having an experience that stays with you forever. And with Fishing Booker, you can experience it too, no matter where you are. Discover your next adventure on Fishing Booker.
At Midway USA, we know the AR-15 is one of the most popular rifles in modern American history. Known for its modularity and widespread use, it's often considered essential to any gun collection. The essential things you need to run an AR-15 are usually always in stock during shortages, things like magazines and 5.56 ammo. Whether you're looking to buy a new AR-15 or buy parts for your modern sporting rifle, log on and for just about everything for the outdoors, shop MidwayUSA.com.
Welcome back to the Paddle and Fin Podcast Network. We're brought to you by Yak Gadget. For all your kayak fishing accessory needs, go to yakgadget.com. Pelican cases, coolers, and lighting, go to pelican.com. The 153 Bait Company. For all your hard and soft bait needs, go to the 153anglers.com. Now let's get this show started.
Hey everyone, welcome back to the Mindset Podcast. I'm your host, Chris Slifka. I'm joined here with special guest, Jeff Hepp of Fish the 50. How are you doing today, man?
I'm doing great, man. How are you?
Doing great.
Good.
What I want to get into is I met you earlier this year, about April, and you said you had this thing about catching one fish in all 50 states.
That's right.
We've been trying to get you on the podcast for a couple months now.
And I was pretty busy. I was pretty busy, man. I started a new job, and it, that's getting in the way of my fishing habit. So,
it's all good, man.
Yeah.
So, if you just want to explain to people kind of what the process is and what your original goal was.
Yeah. So, after I deployed with the Army in 2008, I came back and, I caught a fish in Kuwait, and, I didn't really grow up fishing. So I caught that fish, and then I decided to take a charter off of Cape Canaveral in Florida after I got back, and because I kind of wanted to try it after I'd caught that fish in Kuwait. And so I went on this charter and I caught a 50-inch wahoo, and man, I was pretty well hooked after that. So, you know, I fished for a few years just learning the basics and stuff, you know. And we had a camper up at a place called Indian Lake in Ohio, and I'd fish for crappie and channel cats off the dock and that sort of stuff, and just hanging out with the kids. And then I worked for the Air Force at the time, and they sent me on some trips. I ended up catching a carp in Utah, and ended up another place or two. And the next thing I knew, I had fish in 5 states, and I was like, well, that's a 10th of the way to 50. So I'm like, you know, after I had that thought, I was like, I couldn't let it go. So I'm like, I'm just going to catch fish in every state. And then, it just took off from there, and I started everywhere I go, I pack a rod and reel and, or rent a boat or a charter or whatever I have to do and try to catch a fish. So I just been out, learning and loving it since then. So it's been about 5 years now I've been into it. So I'm at 29 states. I've been keeping track on the map behind me, but I'm actually I need to scratch off 3 states. I've been not keeping up on my map. My daughter moved back into my basement, so I don't come back down here as often as I used to. But yeah, so life's good.
Yeah, man. Sorry about that. I was talking to my kid for a second there.
Yeah.
But you said 29 states.
Yep.
And county.
Yep.
So you still got a lot, though.
Yeah. Yeah, I still got a ways to go. I felt pretty good. I felt like I was onto something after I hit 25. I felt like, you know, halfway. And I'm like, man, I still got a ways to go, you know. And it's all budget and time dependent, you know, and I still got this crazy job that I got to do. So it's in the way of that a little bit.
Yeah. How has the kayak helped you with that?
Well, first thing is, like, you know, I signed up to be the chaplain for the Paddle and Fin Trail Series, and those guys were great. And when their schedule came out, I was like, I want to do this, because I thought maybe I could hit some more states on it. And so I got my first Michigan fish with the Paddle and Fin crew right off our campground after after we set up camp that day, or maybe the first tournament day or something we had there.
Yeah. So, yeah. I think it was the first, the practice day.
Yeah. Well, are you keeping track, are you? You probably keep better track than me, because I don't, I mean, it's kind of like, you know, one fish is all I need in a state. Yeah. And, but yeah, Michigan was good to me this year, because I bought a full year license. Well, first, when I started my job with the National Park Service, I had to drive up to Michigan to get my ID card activated. So I stopped at, there was a river there, River Raisin National Park. And I was like, well, I threw a rod in the truck and bought a full year license. And then, you know, it was on after that. So didn't end up catching my first fish until I went to the Paddle and Fin trip. So,
nice.
So yeah, I was hoping to get more states, but, you know, work kind of got in the way of me getting, and a couple of the events got, you know, like COVID started kicking up in places, and hot weather, and, you know, the tournament series lost momentum halfway through, unfortunately. But yeah, still, it was still awesome, man. I mean, I what I like about those guys and kayak fishing is it's so relaxed. You know what I mean? Like, not a lot of drama. And good people all the way around, good company. Get to meet guys like you and the rest of the PNF crew, and you know, it's just all around a pleasant experience. And that's you know, that's something we tried to create this year. So yeah, it was pretty fun all the way around.
Yeah, man. I mean, I had a ton of fun doing it too.
Mm-hmm.
Unfortunately, some of the events got canceled, but I mean, it's gonna, you know, it's a learning experience for everybody.
Yep.
And so out of the 29 states, what has been your favorite fish to catch?
You know, I, man, that wahoo in Florida was pretty special, because it was really good to eat. It's not a state, but I caught a sturgeon, if you see the pic there, up in British Columbia. Let's see, some of my other favorite fish. Probably had my personal best bass at Lake Gunnersville in Alabama.
Nice.
Had a really, really fun trip. I was fly fishing underneath the horseshoe out in Page, Arizona. So that was a really cool trip. That was a really neat experience. That's a beautiful place to fish, and there's so many trout underneath there. So that was a good fishery too. So,
yeah. Well, besides saltwater, what's biggest fish?
Well, I guess it would be that sturgeon behind me.
Yeah.
It was 6 foot. They go by the
yeah.
Fork length on the sturgeon, so nose to the fork was 6'1". So they figured that was like an 80-year-old fish, you know, maybe 180 pounds or something like that. I caught a really nice, yeah, you said no salt water, so I won't talk about my tarpon then, but I caught a man, I completely forgot about that tarpon trip. it was 100 plus, the guide said. So But those, you know, you don't really try to drag them onto the boat or anything like that.
Yeah, so no,
it's got some great, got some great video and got to get my hands on it and got a good release on it. So that was a really good fish too. Yeah. So, yeah.
What did you catch the sturgeon on?
It's like catfishing, man. They're bottom feeders, and they would take a ball of night crawlers, wrap this bait holder wrap around it and keep that ball. And then you can see on the, when I framed it, I built this frame and they use those railroad pins there, and the railroad spikes, and they use those for weights because the Fraser River is just so deep and fast. So they would take two or three railroad spikes, zip time to the line, and then drop the night crawlers onto the bottom, and the sturgeon would come and feel around and pick them up off the bottom and suck them up in. And so yeah, yeah. Yep, really cool experience.
Yeah. So how many fish have you caught on the fly? Fly rod, as far as in your journey of 29.
So full disclosure, I suck with a fly rod. I am not good at all.
But at least you're willing to try it, though.
Well, I am, and there's right close to me is Mad River, Ohio, and they stock it with brown trout, and but it's really narrow, and they're all stocker trout, so spinning gear works just fine, and so that's what I've done there. And so there are guys that fly fish it, but I didn't grow up fishing anyway, and then I never really had anybody teach me the fly rod or any purpose, so I kind of had to force myself to go out and do some things to learn it. So I took a trip to it was the Chattahoochee River, I think it was, in that was Northeast Georgia, I want to say. And they had a, you know, a really, really private a section of the river with good access that I hired a guide through, and kind of did my first trip and caught a bunch of rainbows, big rainbows on that. And then my other trip I already talked about was out at Marble Canyon in Page, Arizona. So I think that's still the Colorado River, I want to say. I might be wrong. But yeah, that was a great trip. And that was where I learned a lot more about the fly rod on that trip, because we had these really super long drifts, had a lot of line out, and you know, trying to get a hook set with that much line and that much water moving. And so I really kind of, I think maybe I got more interested in it. And I bought this fly rod. We had a sporting goods store kind of going out of business one time, and they had this really cheap, like package set. It's normally like 80 or 100 bucks, and they had it marked down to 20 bucks. I'm like, I just bought it. I'm like, I'm doing this thing. So it's a real, real piece of crap. But I started using it, and I'm to the point now. One of my favorite things to do is carp on a fly rod. And I've seen some of your videos out there, you know, looking for the carp on the fly. And that, you know, that's kind of like poor man's bonefish. You know what I mean? So
that's exactly what it is. That's how they describe it.
I mean, and getting a carp to eat, like, you know, if I'm chumming for carp and I, you know, throw out corn, I can catch carp like that, you know. But getting the carp to pursue a bait is a little trickier. And so when I started doing carp on the fly rod, I really felt like maybe I was making some progress on the fly rod. So yeah, yep.
Yeah, I mean, that one, you have to be an accurate caster, or you have to find them really shallow to where you can drop it on them.
Right. And right.
For me, the carp on the fly rod, for me, is they're a tricky fish. It's challenging. You know, when I got introduced to it, it was something where, you know, I was bass fishing a lot. I mean, I still do. But it was to a point where it wasn't really challenging anymore. I wasn't really doing tournaments at the time.
The 1911 is one of the most iconic firearms in history. Designed by John Browning, the 1911 was the standard-issue sidearm of the U.S. military from 1911 to 1985. While Colt produced the original, almost every major firearm company has produced its own version. It's wildly revered for its reliability, crisp trigger, and is still a favorite for all types of shooters. Whether you're looking to buy or build a 1911 and just about everything for guns, log on to MidwayUSA.com.
Well, and
I was looking for a challenge, you know?
That's exactly what got, I mean, almost verbatim, because I have this, I have a membership at a local gravel pit, right? And it's the closest fishery to my house for bass. So, and it's $500 a year and I can fish all I want. So, I mean, it, for me, it works out, but you know, then there's three ponds and they're 30 foot deep and full of bass. But I just kind of got like, you know, so they're also full of carp and hardly anybody fishes for them. So I'm like, I want to try this because there's some really, really big carp in there. And I'm like, why mess around with these 2 pound bass when there's, you know, 15, 20 pound carp on a fly rod. So, you know, it's all relative. And like you said, it's like, it's skills driven and like goal driven. To try something new and go after it and learn it and take a risk on it. And if you hate it or you're no good at it, well then, you know, you just, I only had $20 invested. I had, you know, I think I spent more on my last order of flies than I spent on my entire fly rod.
Yeah.
I know the guys by you, Mad River Outfitters, they're extremely like into the carp on the fly and muskie on the fly. I watch a lot of their videos.
So if anybody cares about carp on the fly rod and you go to Mad River Outfitters YouTube page and you go back through his old series on carp on the fly, that's where I fish. it's the same fishery, right? So after I kind of saw that and saw what he was doing on that. I mean, it's a really, really old series that he did on the old DVDs, and then
he said he won't do a new one though because it's still relevant.
Right. It's like everything he said in there is what I did, and I'm, you know.
Yeah.
So yeah. And you know, I met that guy one time, and he was in a rush, let's say. So I didn't really get to talk to him like I would have liked to. But they do fishing up in the Northeast Ohio. I want to do a pike on the fly trip up there someday. But you know, I got other priorities. I've already fished in Ohio so many times.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. Yep. So, what's next as far as states? Do you have stuff planned out already, or are you?
Yeah. So I started work for the National Park Service back in March, and it's a great job. I work from home, so I'm loving it. But my office is technically in Denver. So I've never met my supervisor. So they're having a little conference out there in Denver first week of December. And so I'm like, I've caught fish in Colorado. I had a really, really fun trip out there with my daughter last year, or, you know, first year COVID hit, right after COVID hit. We didn't, flights were cheap and we went driving, you know, flew into Denver and drove around. But so I'm going out to Denver the first of December. And what I did was I booked a trip up into Wyoming on the North Platte River. And I don't know if I'll get to the Miracle Mile, but they say the big brown trout are going to be chomping. So that's I'll be doing that out of a drift boat. So that's something I've always wanted to try too. So
yeah, it's something I haven't been in yet.
Yeah, I've always, like I said, man, I like to try new things. That's why I'm about new states and new experiences and new people, you know. So, I mean, I like new techniques. I mean, there's so much in the fishing world, so many places, so many species, I mean, so many things. And like, yeah, I really get into kayak bass fishing because it's peaceful and everything. But, man, I like new things. I've just been going out and trying new things everywhere I go.
Yeah, that's similar to me.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, bass fishing is obviously the thing I do the most, but I have no problem stepping out of that and going and trying something I've never even done before.
Right. I mean, and I don't get – I mean, I guess some people want to be maybe an expert at what they do, or they're competitive, right? And so they want to make money at it or be the best.
I think the competition for me is what kind of keeps me in bass fishing, because I am a competitive person.
Right.
So the competitive side of it is what keeps me wanting to learn more as far as the bass fishing side. But like I was saying in earlier podcasts, there was a, you know, once I knew the season was done, I kind of went straight into fly fishing just for the simple fact I kind of just wanted to get away from it and do something totally different where I'm not worried about how many inches I'm catching or anything like that. I'm just worried about catching a fish.
Right. Well, I mean, you learn a lot. Like one of my goals right now is just catch a fish every month of the year. And so I just went out today and went out to Mad River and caught myself a brown trout and caught it good, you know? So
nice.
I learn so much by fishing other times of year or sprinkling other goals or new places. I mean, you learn a lot by what other fish are doing or what the fishery itself looks like or the water or the bait or whatever is going on. And I mean, I would think it would help bass fishermen to learn other things if they're not. But I think most of them are, they just maybe just don't talk about it or focus on it. But, yeah.
So. Yeah. I feel the same way. You know, I feel like some people stay in one spot also because they're just they're afraid to try new things.
You know,
I feel like a lot of people get stuck in the mindset of this is what I know how to do. Why try something different? Because they get comfortable with it.
Right.
You know?
Yep.
But, yep. And I've learned things about bass fishing from chasing other fish.
Right.
I know, you know, reading water, you know, trout, you have to really know how to read the river to catch trout. If you don't know how to read the river, you're not going to have any luck. And then bass are the same way, but people think they're just stupider than the other species.
Right. Yep.
I mean, it's fun having those conversations with people who are just, you know, I've had conversations with people who just chase muskie, and they're like, well, if you don't chase muskie, there's no competition to it. And same with bass fishermen. If you don't chase bass, you're nobody.
Yeah.
You're always going to run into those people, but I feel like for sure you need the change.
Yeah. Well, I mean, the way I feel about it is, you know, I deployed, I served. My goal after that was, you know, just to go out and enjoy the country that I swore to defend. So I really don't care about other people's opinions of what I'm doing. You know what I mean? Like I'm competing against myself and I'm not even really competing. Like, I mean, I want to enjoy life, man. I mean, I've been blessed and God's creation is just wonderful, man. I mean, so for people that only want to see and do certain things, that's their right. I mean, it's their life, right? So,
yeah,
you know, I'm not going to get into their face about it or try to convince them that they're wrong. But I mean, it makes me sad for people that can't do new things or won't.
More, but let's, it's more of opening your mind to new things over
Well, and the other thing is that multi-species fishing can get complicated and expensive in a hurry. So like a lot of the baits I use, like we go up into Ontario and fish, I got way too much money in rattle traps, whopper ploppers, right? I mean, but I can catch smallmouth and pike on that, but I can catch largemouth on that too. So some of the stuff I have will catch multiple species. But if you're a musky guy, you got thousands and thousands of dollars in musky baits.
Well, that's why I invested in the fly fishing part of it.
Yeah. So, and for me, I don't buy expensive rods and reels. I spend a lot more money on charters and guides or boat rentals wherever I need it or something like that. So it's a matter of how you want to spend your funds and what you can afford to do. Some things are expensive to travel to. And the other thing is like a lot of people's fishing really depends on what their local fishery is. Like if you don't have the funds to travel, or maybe you don't have the vacation time from work, you're not going to get to a lake like some of them that I go remotely to fish. So you're gonna be fishing what's most cost effective and convenient for you. So I mean, I get that too. I mean, that's why I do a lot of kayak bass fishing, because I have access to a spot that's really close to home, and it's got a ton of bass, and it's paddle or electric only, and I'm all about it. And I can go out there and be completely at peace. And the other thing for the kayaking is that when I was in the artillery, I hurt my ears, so my ears are permanently damaged and getting worse. So I don't like a lot of noise, so like motor noise and all that stuff is like not something I'm trying to look to do. So the kayak fishing is so peaceful and quiet, you know, it's a real relaxation for me. So
yeah, that's why I feel like a lot of people go towards kayaks. I mean, that's kind of why I like it more than having a boat. Well, one, it's definitely cost effective, and two, you're closer to the water, and it's just a lot more peaceful.
Yeah.
Then, you know, I feel like, when I'm in a boat, you're always in a rush to get to the next spot just because you know you have the motor to do so. Versus right. Versus a kayak, you kind of enjoy it, and you just pick the spots you want to fish, and you go out and do it. If you catch fish, you catch fish. If you don't, you don't. You still had a good day on the water.
Right. Yep.
So we've been going for about 26 minutes. Is there anything I haven't hit on that you'd like to talk about?
Whether you're just looking to stay warm during a hunt or need maximum concealment, the clothing you wear can make or break a hunt. At MidwayUSA.com, we understand hunting clothing has come a long way with more meticulously crafted camo patterns, advanced scent control technologies, and weatherproof options to withstand the elements. Hunters have to wait until their favorite season, but shouldn't wait on gear, which is why MidwayUSA offers super fast shipping. When you're ready for your next system, log on to MidwayUSA.com.
Yeah, man. I mean, I've been thinking about the mindset all week, and I'm like, well, does anybody really care what my mindset is? You know, because like I've never actually fished a tournament. Yeah, I did the chaplain for the paddle and fin guys, but I don't fish competitively. But so I was like, well, what would somebody really want to hear about? And I would say that a lot of my mindset, other than like we talked about being a veteran and just doing what I'm interested in doing because I feel like it's my time, right? But I would say for me, being a new angler, like not even until like I was into my 30s, right? My middle 30s did I really get into the fishing. And so I think my mindset is like I've already got my career. Like I'm not going to ever be a competitive, like, I'm going to win tournaments or something, because yeah. I have such a learning curve at this point to go through to be competitive with somebody that's been doing it for longer and maybe grew up with it or has more access to something. And so a lot of my mindset is around, first of all, like my pastor talks about, he likes to give the example of like, when your vertical is right, you know, the sign of the cross, when your vertical is right and you're focused on God first, then everything else on the horizontal is gonna level out. And so, you know, I put God first, and that helps me stay centered. And after that, I'm really focused on my career, my professional career, because that career is what enables me to then have the finances to spend on the fishing, right? So
yeah.
the job is, I've focused on that because it enables the rest of my life. So I think some people can get kind of wrapped up in, you know, I hate my job and I just want to be a professional bass fisherman, or I want to be a guide or whatever. And they're so focused on the thing that they want to do that they let something else go, or let it drag them down, or they don't grow in their profession, where that extra money could be then reinvested into their fishing career to springboard them. And so that's kind of the second piece of my mindset, is that, you know, I take care of my professional life because it takes care of the travel and things that I want to do. So, and the other thing is like, I, you know, my, besides my spiritual life and my professional life, is like, I put my family above my fishing too, you know? And so those things all have to be in alignment for me. And when I'm doing those things well, then I have the time and energy and freedom to go fish when I want. So, I mean, I think some people, you know, you kind of talk to them and you're like, man, I know you want to go fishing, but maybe there's some other things you need to focus on first. And in the long run, that's going to pay off. And at least it has for me, you know? But the other thing I would say is, that's me. Like, I see so many people on social media or wherever, you talk to them and they want to give advice, or they want to tell you, you know, you got to do this, you got to do that. I'm like, well, my situation is completely different than your situation. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah,
I wouldn't necessarily say you need to do what I'm doing. Right. I mean, we were there. Where were we? Wabash, Indiana. Is that where we were? Where you, came in at the last minute and,
Oh yeah.
Like you're a tournament angler, man. I mean, you were the last one in and you were fishing to the end and you were like trying to get one more. And like, I think that probably paid off for you, you know? So you're in that, you have a competitive streak in you that I don't have. So where it's possible for you, if you put your mind to it, to make inroads into that competitive segment. For me, I never want to do it. Right. So I think people really need to take stock of two points in their life. Like, where are you at right now? And where do you want to be? And what things do you need to get there, right? And don't let anybody else define those two points for you. You know what I mean? Because yeah. You have to define those things for yourself. And I think once you do that, like your point A to point B, I think your path is just really people with the willingness to execute, right? and so for me, it's been, you know, professionally, I got my master's degree and went up and got promoted in my job. And that helped me. Once I got that promotion, I just had that extra income and leave. Cause I rolled all my Army benefits into the civilian side of my career. And, so that freedom financially and having vacation time helped me. So, yeah.
And yeah, I 100% agree with everything you just said. From the first part of being centered, you got to have a clear mind when you're going fishing, especially in a tournament setting. Even if not a tournament setting, if there's anything going on inside your head that you know it doesn't feel right, whether it be finances, family, or anything really, you know, you're always going to have this burden over you.
Right.
And then the part about, you know, where you're at and where you want to go and don't let people talk to you, that's something I always tell people.
Yeah.
And I definitely agree with both of those statements.
Yeah. 100%. So what's next for you, man? Where are you going in this thing, man? Last time I saw you, I didn't know you were even doing this mindset segment. So yeah, that's fairly new, and I've been catching up on that and following your social media. And like I thought I just saw maybe YouTube on that Carp on the Fly or something. I'm like, yeah, and I like what this cat's doing. So
yeah, for me, it's a little bit of everything, man. We're upgrading the kayak. I officially sold the kayak like a couple weeks ago now, the red one. And then we get an upgrade January sometime. And then picking a tournament schedule and kind of going from there. Gonna keep the YouTube videos up for sure. Okay. It's kind of, you know, figuring out 2022.
Yeah.
Now.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know what 22 holds for me at all this year. I've been taking life as it comes now, and I've been at my job like 8 or 10 months, I guess. So I'm still figuring it. Like, I was at my last job for 12 years, so I'm still figuring out the new job a little bit and the schedule to it. And so I've got a lot of I've got trips coming up because they pay me to go to national parks, so it's a pretty sweet gig. But I got a project up in Maine. I got some at the Statue of Liberty, and so I'm gonna try to. I want to catch a big striper right in front of the Statue of Liberty, you know. So, I'll probably try to squeeze in a trip up in the Northeast when I get up to Acadia in Maine. But and COVID has messed up a lot of stuff too, man. It's like travel is unpredictable and all the rules. And like when I went to Canada, I had to, you know, fill out a bunch of forms and the vaccine and all that stuff. And then, you know, that stuff changes. And it's like, I really never know when I'm going to be and where. Everywhere I go, I got a rod and reel with me. So,
That's how I am. I at least keep the fly rods in the car at all times.
Yeah.
And it was just because it's easy to break them down versus having the 7-foot pole in the car every day.
Well, I ended up getting a 6.5-foot 4-piece Ugly Sticks travel rod, and it's not real sensitive, so it's not doesn't cast great, but it's so easy to travel with. So that's kind of my, like, if I have to have something, like, because it'll fit in a suitcase or wherever. So I know they make better travel rods than that one, but I pack that one a lot, and it's pretty indestructible too. You know, some of those Ugly Sticks, they'll really take a beating. So so that's been good for me. Been happy with it.
Yeah, I mean, that's good to hear.
Yeah.
So, any closing words before we end it?
Well, let me think, man. I mean, I don't know, man. I mean, I can't believe people want to listen to me yak at all. But if I get to talk about Jesus and fishing for a little bit, then I'm pretty happy. Yeah. So yeah, I mean, I'd give a shout out to the 153 folks. So we met them in Indiana, I met them in
It was probably
Dale Hollow. Yeah. And then he gave me a bunch of baits, and I think I gave some of you his baits, and we got to talk about 153 and that story. And, man, that was how we met. And so, I mean, I think another part of my mindset, and I was just on the Faith and Fishing podcast that's going to be coming out too. But some of my other mindset stuff is, like, get out and meet people, like, for real, actual people, and talk to them. And that's really hard for me because I'm really an introvert. But, man, I mean, you meet so many cool people when you go to these events, and making a real connection. Like, I mean, you and I got to, you know, sit in the truck, and, you know, I got to see you, you know, is that big check? Is that it right there? Yeah. That was in my truck, right? Yeah. So, I mean, and so those experiences really stick with me, man. I mean, I remember that stuff, and, like, I root for people, like, I'm rooting for you, and I just want to see people succeed, and I want other people to want other people to succeed. I'm just tired of the negativity in life. So I just encourage people to, you know, kind of rethink the way the social media and all that stuff can mess with your head, and you can feel like other people have it going on, or you can make a bunch of negative comments. But I would just use social media as a chance to find ways to connect with real people, you know, like we have, because, I mean, here we are, like, and look at technology, you know, like, you and I met, you know what, a couple times, where were we?
We met Indiana's when we first met, and then the next time I seen you was Michigan.
Right, yeah, you were in Michigan too, yeah. Yep. So, I mean, and all that crew, like, they just help each other. So, I mean.
Knives, machetes, saws, and shears. Multi-tools, shovels, swords, axes, spears, hatchets, and tomahawks. If it cuts, snips, slices, or chops, Midway USA has it. Find great gift ideas in our huge selection of pocket knives and other everyday carry folding knives. Make a statement or create a family legacy with one of our top-of-the-line hunting knives. We've got a great selection of manual and electric sharpeners, too. For just about everything for the outdoors, check out MidwayUSA.com.
The PNF trail started off great. I mean, people loved it. Like, the events we did, I thought went really well. So I'd encourage people to, if you can get to a paddle and fin event next year, whatever we end up doing, we're talking about maybe having a big event like we did at Dale Hollow. It might even be there. I don't know. I don't know what they're going to end up doing, if they even invite me back.
The Dale Hollow is for sure happening. Everything else, we're waiting for other schedules to come out.
Yeah. So yeah, man, I mean, get out and meet people. And if you're trying to do anything with fishing, you know, just remember that if you want to be paid or sponsored or even pro staff, like, they expect you to represent the brand that they are, man. And, I mean, I hope I represent Paddle and Fin, and I know you're doing a great job, but you're a representative for a company. It's not just about the fish, right? Like, absolutely. can you promote a product or a brand or whatever? So it's more than just, I caught the biggest fish and put it on Facebook. Like, to get anywhere, I think you got to do more than that. But you know, what do I know? I'm still, I got to pay to fish everywhere I go. So, you know, maybe my advice isn't the best, but
still gotta pay too, but, you know, it gets closer and closer every day.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I think doing stuff like this is changing the not just our mindsets, but I think as a community for anglers, we're changing the entire mindset, right? By being more positive, focusing on the good stuff, letting each other congratulating somebody on their personal best and not having to one up them with a picture of a bigger fish. You know, I mean, it's pretty tempting sometimes, but you know, so yeah, that's about it.
Yeah, man. Sounds good.
Okay. Sounds good. Well, we'll catch up. Hopefully we'll get to go fishing again next year.
Yeah, it'd definitely be in the works. I'm hoping to at least get it to Ohio at least once next year.
Yeah,
I was looking forward to the event this year. Unfortunately, I had to get canceled. But
yeah, yep. Well, I need to check off Illinois and Wisconsin too. So that was kind of on my list, but I never got there. Just work interfered with it. And
I know. I could get you for Illinois.
Yeah. I just gotta go over there. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like I know like five people that want to take me fishing in Illinois. Yeah. But I don't. It's not that far. It's only two states over, and Indiana's pretty skinny. So, like, I mean, it's really only like 5 hours for me to get to Chicago. But man, it's finding the time, you know. So
yeah, I mean, anytime you have time to come here, man, I can put fish, you know, all year round. I have a couple spots.
You got some spots for me?
Yeah.
Okay. I'll keep that in mind. Yeah. I need secret spots. I need reliable fish areas so I don't blank in my states, you know. So.
Yeah. It was nice talking to you, man, and I'm sure we'll catch up again on the podcast for sure.
Yeah, man.
And definitely keep in touch on social media like we've been doing.
Yep.
I appreciate you joining me, man. And yes. I hope that you have a good night.
Yep, you too, brother. God bless. Bye.
Bye.
Thanks for tuning in to another killer episode on Paddle and Fin. Don't forget to go check out our website at paddle, the letter N, and fin.com. Don't forget to check out the YouTube channel at Paddle and Fin. If you got a question, comment, want to hear from a future guest on a future episode, feel free to email us at paddle, the letter N, and fin@gmail.com. Don't forget to follow us on social media at Paddle and Fin on Facebook and Instagram. Shout out to our show supporters, Angler, the Angler Button, and app just makes for a better time on the water and creates a virtual logbook for every fishing outing out on the water. Shout out to Rocktown Adventures, located in Northern Illinois, for all your kayaking, camping, and hiking needs. Shout out to Jigmasters Jigs. When in doubt, get the jig out. Go to jigmasters.com.
A life that has the stories to back it. A life to be proud of. It's a Winchester life.
Yeah, baby. 6'8 Western. Oh, mule deer, baby, right there.
Tune in every Tuesday at 7 p.m. Eastern on Waypoint TV. Brave anglers search for the one they call king, but who will take his throne? Tune in to Waypoint TV's Battle for Silver, Saturday, May 18th from 12 to 6 p.m. Eastern. Presented by Abyss Battery. Waypoint TV.